Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Happy Football Friday. Sal's going to join us here in a moment. You got a question about the Bills? Bring it in for Sal, 803-0550, or just tell us how you think Sunday's game's going to play out between the Bills and the Rams. Sal's segment brought to you by New York's only outlet, Liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? He is standing by on our West Hur hotline. Good morning, Sal Capaccio. Welcome to Football Friday.
Hi, guys. Good morning.
Yeah, this week is dragging, Sal. I got to get to game day, man. This is really, but I feel better today. You know, I can see the weekend, so thankfully. Let's do injuries first, and let's start with the injury report, which is brought to you by Univera Healthcare. Compare because you care at univeraforbusiness.com. All right, where do we stand after Thursday's practice? What do we need to know?
Well, it's a lengthy list, but it's getting a lot better looking for the Bills. Looks like a lot of guys had some bumps and bruises that they wanted to give a little bit of time to heal on Wednesday. So as far as yesterday is concerned, the guys that were not practicing that did come back in some capacity, Cole Beasley, hip and thumb, he was back to a full participant. Tre'Davious White, he was limited with a shoulder injury, but he was back to a full participant. Yesterday, John Brown was limited with a foot. But I want to just throw caution before anybody freaks out. Remember last week he missed Wednesday because of the same reason. I don't know. Maybe something flared up. Maybe something did happen where it caused him to not practice or to be limited yesterday. Maybe he left practice early. However, it also could be because Cole Beasley was out Wednesday, they just kind of told John Brown, you know, take Thursday. You know what I mean? To have numbers at the position. That could very well be the case. So I wouldn't worry about that until we see anything today. The linebackers are the ones that everybody's, you know, talking about, thinking about, worrying about, if you will. Tremaine Edmonds has practiced all week on a limited basis. He's been wearing the red non-contact jersey. And the good news is Matt Milano is not wearing a red non-contact jersey. He is limited, but he's been out there even with the hamstring injury. The thing to concern yourself with is Zach Moss. Zach Moss is a toe injury. Mm-hmm. He has not practiced for two straight days. I did see him stretching with the team yesterday when I went out there for the media open portion. And then he jogged over to the exercise bike area where he joined Dawson Knox, who's out with a concussion right now, and Josh Norman, who's obviously on IR. The last one to tell you about, I'd tell you, is Ed Oliver. He returned to limited with a knee injury. But he said he's fine. He's good to go.
I like how when Sal mentions the thing about don't freak out yet, he means me, because I'm the guy that freaks out about injuries. So thank you for saying.
You have to, you just have to kind of, you know, every day is the way that they do it, you know, throughout the week, they want to keep guys healthy. So sure, something, maybe when you see what it does get my eyebrows up a little bit if I don't see a guy on the report on Wednesday, but then he pops up on Thursday without a rest. Like yesterday, Mario Addison had a rest day, not a big deal. Right. But when you see John Brown, there's nothing on Wednesday, but suddenly foot limited on Thursday, you could think, okay, did something happen at practice, which meant he left early, which would make him limited? Was there something that flared up?
Right.
You know, he was out there. I saw him, you know, stretching and doing routes and things like that. But I'll also know that usually one time per week, John Brown gets a day to, you know, back off a little bit. And this could have been the day yesterday. So we'll see.
With Beasley, now again, so in case fans don't know, this time of year, the media does not see all of practice. You see just a little bit of a portion at the beginning. Is there any way to judge? Was Cole Beasley catching any balls? Did it look like he was okay with the tape job, or was he having any issues trying to catch footballs?
No, he looked like he went through all the drills normally from what I saw. And like I said, they put him as a full participant. So, you know, that doesn't necessarily address your question, but that's good news, obviously. No, it didn't seem like anything out of the ordinary. He was participating in one-on-one drills against the DBs when I watched that.
If Moss can't play, two-part question for you, Sal. I assume Yeldon would then step in. If that's the case, how do you think that might affect the workload, the division of work between the two running backs, because both Singletary and Moss have gotten a number of snaps in the first two games? What would happen if Yeldon has to step in?
Yeah, I think you lose a little bit of a physical presence from the backfield, right? I mean, that's what Zach Moss is. But he's not a guy that's been sensational or anything like that through the first couple of weeks. He's had a couple nice runs, but he's also had some trouble, I think, finding a couple holes. So this is a guy that I think is going to be still growing. And he's learning, and he's just played two NFL games. With T.J. Yeldon, what you do get is experience. You get an experienced guy, and you get a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield, obviously, that you can maybe work in some matchups. Let's remember, you know, the Bills use a lot of four wide receivers they have this year. They run personnel where they can put tight ends on the field as H-backs and split them out as well. So, you know, if you want to talk about snaps, sure, T.J. Yeldon's going to be out there, but you can also kind of just massage it in different ways with different players you could put out there. So I'm not sure what the drop-off would be, if there even is one right now, from Zach Moss to T.J. Yeldon, because, you know, Zach Moss, like I said, hasn't done anything super special. It's nice to have him. I just think the biggest thing you'd be missing is a little bit more of a physical presence if you wanted it from the running back position.
You know, you look on paper, Sal, and you would think this could be a high-scoring game. You have two very good offenses through the first two games of the season. You know, and I feel like the majority of the times when I go into a game thinking it's going to be a high-scoring game, it isn't. But what are your thoughts in terms of what we could see, because both offenses are off to a very good start?
Yeah, and by the way, I do want to tell people Cam Akers, the running back for the Rams, also did not practice for two straight days. That could be something they're going to miss. Two rookie running backs in this game that haven't practiced. Obviously, Moss for the Bills. But Akers, the reason I note that is he has a rib injury, and Sean McVay had said on Monday he thought he'd be fine to play, but now he apparently has not progressed as well as Sean McVay thought he would. So we'll see, you know, if he plays against the Bills. But they have other good running backs.
Yeah.
So they do a lot of really good things on offense. And when I watch them, Howard, they're just very tough to defend. They have a lot of different concepts and formations, and they make you think way too much. And when you're thinking too much, you lose a step maybe, and then all of a sudden they catch you, and that's what they do. That's what the Rams offense does. Looking at the numbers, yeah, you would think the way that their offense is playing, the way the Bills offense is playing, an opportunity here for both offenses maybe to get into the 20s and up towards 30 points. But then again, you know, you got a Buffalo Bills defense, I think, that is very good. Despite allowing 28 points last week to the Miami Dolphins, they're going to get both their linebackers back. This is going to be a really interesting chess match. It does look on paper like it could be a high-scoring game. I wouldn't be surprised. This could be more of a shootout than we're used to in Buffalo. What is the over-under? Is it
46? It's like 45, 46, somewhere in there, mid-40s.
Yeah. Somewhere in there.
That
seems
low.
It's not super high.
Yeah.
Not super high, but it's a little higher than maybe some Bills games that we're used to. Usually they're down in the lower to mid-40s, so if it's a little bit more in the upper 40s. So, yeah, I think there's a chance for that. Jared Goff's playing really well. You know, they do a lot of nice things with him. Sean McVay's just smart. He plays to his players' strengths. And Jared Goff, he's not a super mobile guy. He's not Josh Allen, but they move him around a lot back there. He does a lot of little boot stuff. You know, they roll him out a little bit. They move him around in the pocket. So it's interesting how they run a lot of their concepts. And I think the Bills have a lot of really good skill players. And it's not saying the Rams don't. Of course
they
do.
Yeah.
They have Robert Woods. They have Cooper Kupp. But what I think about what the Rams do is they really scheme really well. And they get their guys open and in good spaces.
I think that's one of the things that stands out about this matchup. You know, if we're going to talk about the Bills and how deep the arsenal is on the offense and how many options Josh has, not just the passing game, but, you know, a couple good running backs. Same thing about the Rams, right? You look at their receiving core and how deep they can go there. The tight end, certainly Higbee stands out, the three-headed running back monster, although they might not all be healthy. But there are a number of offensive options. I think, you know, you don't look at the Rams, Sal, and go, okay, well, you got to stop this guy first and foremost, whereas you might say get Diggs out. But the Bills are deep, and so are the Rams. They have a number of ways that Goff could go in this offense.
Yeah, and you know what else they do is they move these guys around even in the – so they have all these different formations, but then they move guys around in the different formations, meaning So you might find Cooper Kupp in the slot. You might find him outside. You might find Robert Woods outside or in the slot. They'll take Higbee. They'll put him in line as a blocker. Have him go out from a three-point stance. Have him go out for a pass or block. They'll put Higbee as an H-back. He scored a touchdown like that last week. They'll split him out in the trips formation. He scored a touchdown like that last week. The guy scored three touchdowns last week. So they do all these things. So now I think about how do the Bills play that? Because if you want Tre'Davious White to be on one specific guy, first you'd have to decide which guy it is.
Right.
Let's just say it's Robert Woods. Well, now, because of what they do, Sean McVay can kind of dictate where you want Tre'Davious White. So that might not be the play, right? It might be, okay, let's just keep White on the left, Levi Wallace on the right, and let's just play football because we don't want to get caught up. And then on top of that, you know, if you want to play man-to-man against this team, they do a lot of these, like, a lot of crossing, rub routes, stuff like that, really from these tight bunch formations. That is super hard to cover. It really is. So I just wonder how the Bills are going to play it. If they're going to, you know, they play a lot of zone anyway, but, you know, I would think that teams that see that, mostly in football, if you see a lot of that, you're going to play a lot of zone defense. But I think the way you get caught here for the Bills is you might want to do that, but then you can't put Tre'Davious White on somebody specifically you want to put him on, if that makes sense.
No, that's one. You stole one of my questions, Capaccio.
Yeah.
Nate and I were talking about in the first hour. Mm-hmm. Well, both ways. We were wondering about, are they just going to say to Jalen Ramsey, you shadow Diggs? And then we flipped it around and said, is Robert Woods that good? I mean, if you're the Bills, would you take that approach and say, okay, that's the number one option, Trey, you're going to be with him, or just go, you know what, screw it, we're going left, right, and whoever Trey is up against, so be it. Whoever Levi Wallace is up against, so be it. We don't have to focus on getting one guy and trying to negate that target.
Yes, I expect Jalen Ramsey to follow Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Yes, Robert Woods is good enough, but it's not about Robert Woods being good enough. It's about being caught if you do that. Like I said, if you want to do that, even if you decide Robert Woods is good enough, that's not the question. The question is, what are we sacrificing by doing that? Because now suddenly they're going to be able to put us in situations where it's going to be a little tougher to get out of. So it's not, if the Bills decide not to use Tre'Davious White and Robert Woods, it's not because, to me, they don't think Robert Woods is good enough. It's because they do so much on offense that we can't get caught out of position, and we just got to make sure we play right.
Right. For sure. So, yeah. So then Ramsey, Diggs, can you just, let's get it like an ISO camera. If on Sunday's feed, I would like, I
How
need
about a
main,
couple of microphones too?
Yeah. Oh, the trash talking is going to be out of this world,
is be
right?
Key. Yeah.
I need a Ramsey, Diggs ISO camera in the corner of my TV screen. That in itself, if I were to go to a game, or if I could not focus on the whole game, I'd love to watch just those two guys play. Because how many times are you guys tweeting out clips from practice of Trey going up against Diggs in practice? I'd love to see that matchup Sunday.
Yeah, I think you're probably going to see a lot of it. It's interesting. We talked with Tre'Davious White yesterday on our weekly Zoom calls. He was one of them. And, you know, I asked him, I said, have you thought about the fact that you're going to be on the same field, the two highest paid cornerbacks in the history of the NFL? And he's kind of laughed. He said, I never thought about it like that. And then he just went into how much of a relationship he has with Jalen Ramsey. And we know they're two different kind of guys, right? Jalen is really, he's the talker, right? Tre'Davious, he's not the talker. He has that way different kind of personalities. Maybe off the field, they're kind of the same. But he said they're good friends. They FaceTime a couple times a week. They share information on receivers around the league. But they haven't talked this week, he said. They'll see each other on Sunday. But yeah, I think Jalen Ramsey, the two storylines in this game with Jalen Ramsey obviously are A, covering Stephon Diggs, if that's what they choose, that will be really interesting. And B, the comments made towards Josh Allen in the GQ magazine a couple of years ago, calling him trash. And then Allen in the game in Buffalo scores the touchdown, signs the picture, something about, you know, am I still trash or something like that. Ramsey comes back with, yes, he is. It was just a back and forth. But this week, Josh Allen was asked about it, and he took the high road. And he said that was a long time ago, and he's a great player, and, you know, we got our hands full.
You know, when life gets back to normal and you're back out on the field, you should trash talk other sideline reporters. I think you should start doing that. I mean, you got a microphone. I'd like to hear.
It would make it more entertaining.
Yeah, why not? You know, hey, let's go down.
It would also hurt.
You know, and there you are.
It would also probably inhibit my ability to do my job a little bit, since I rely on those people for information. I have to play nice, Howard.
Whatever.
Yeah, but we have a. You know, I have other sideline reporters. Like in my phone, and like we text each other. We have like a sideline reporter text.
What do you have? Like a union going there? Sideline Reporters Association of America? Yeah, what is it?
So if I see like rain or something, If I see like rain somewhere, I'm like, hey man, have a good game today. Stay out of the rain or something like that.
You're kidding me.
It's pretty funny, actually.
Dear Sal, saw there's a blizzard in the forecast, man. Bundle up. Yeah. Says the guy from like LA.
It's also for pumping up. Like on Sunday morning sometime, we'll just like shoot out a thread to a few people and be like, hey, everybody have great days today. You know, stay safe out
there. See, you know, like Tre'Davious White doesn't talk to his opponent. Sal does the opposite. Sal's like, hey, you know, do you want to grab some dinner after this?
I know.
What's going on?
Hey, you need a little help.
I have had many a meal with other sideline reporters. Yes, I have.
Wow, we're hanging out, fraternizing with the enemy.
Yeah, a lot of conflict of interest there.
Hey, we
learned a lot
today.
Info.
Yeah.
I got to get the info on the other team. You know, what's going on?
Don't be spilling Bill's secrets, man. No. You know, in terms of storylines, here's one, too. How do they keep Aaron Donald from destroying them?
How do we just get to this? This is an important one.
Yeah. Who was it? Which Bills coach said maybe he'll miss the bus? Was it Dable?
Yeah, and then Aaron Donald was asked about that yesterday, and he said, I'm never late.
It's like, I'm always early. Always early.
Nuts. I was hoping that he might miss the bus for this one or not even make the trip.
Yeah. That's funny. That's a good little back and forth there. So look, he's just a great player. He is. And you have a couple of different ways you can go about it. Obviously, you're going to have to double team him sometimes, depending on what you do. You know, he can penetrate. You know, one thing I think about these penetrating defensive tackles sometimes it's better to run right at them, because if they penetrate and they're coming through the hole, you know, they don't have time to squat in the hole. They don't have time to, you know, sit there and make a move to make the tackle. If you run right at them, sometimes they're going to penetrate and run right by the play. And that sometimes is the better way to go about it. If you run away from him, you go off tackle. A lot of times that gives the guy, like an Aaron Donald, a chance to penetrate and get down the line real quick, right? Chase the play down backside. If that guy gets caught a little bit, boom, you know, he's dead. So I think that's also a way to do it, but who knows? How do you do it? You hope you have a good plan. You come up with the best plan you can, and you just hope your guys can block him and execute, because he's really good. He's going to make his fair share of plays. Mm-hmm. However that many are, you just hope that the plays he makes aren't game-altering and, you know, he really does something to stop you from scoring in a critical situation or a turnover or something like that.
Hey, Sal, I got a question for you. I think a lot of people liked what they saw from Tyrell Dotson over the weekend last week. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are after Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano. Are they expected back in the lineup this week? And when they are, do you expect that we've seen maybe the last of Tyrell Dotson in terms of his ability to maybe come in and play in three linebacker sets? Because we know he's versatile. We could play all three positions. It's part of the reason why he ended up making the team. But do you get the sense that he's maybe earned some snaps if this team goes to a lot of three linebacker sets?
No, I think that if Milano and Edmonds are back, they're your linebackers. They play. I mean, this is a... He's a backup, and he'll play.
If you're in a base 4-3 and you've got Milano and Edmonds,
they don't play a ton of that anyway.
Right, right.
They play mostly nickel, and maybe Nate. I think AJ Klein is your guy.
Because
in that situation, you're looking more at a strong side guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he can play all three, but I think in that situation, you're looking more at a guy like AJ Klein who can play a little bit more on the strong side. So, I think though, when you say has he earned, I think he has earned. You know, the right and the ability to play when called upon. It's
sure.
Not like, hey, he didn't do a good enough job for us. I just don't think that their situations call for it, because they do play they play mostly nickel, and I don't think you're going to take Edmonds or Milano off the field. So
right.
If you do go to that third linebacker, and it does happen sometimes, maybe it's a matchup thing. You know, if you play against a team that's a little bit more spread and you're caught in your base personnel, you know, a little bit more often, maybe that's something like that. But then again, you'd probably be a nickel. So I think it's AJ Klein anyway in that situation. He can play all three spots. So can AJ Klein, but AJ is really more of the strong side guy than Tyrell Dotson would be.
Hey, one other storyline I want to run by you. The weather right now is still calling for kind of a windy day, like 15 to 25, and then maybe gusts into the 30s. You got two rookie kickers, and now dealing with the crazy swirling winds, we think, on Sunday, Tyler Bass and Samuel Sloman. So it'll be interesting to see. Bass bounce back nicely in Miami. Sal, he hit the one field goal. He was perfect on his extra points. But if it is that windy, it'll be interesting to see how both guys handle that situation on Sunday.
Yeah, these are two of the three drafted kickers from this last year.
All right.
You know who the other one was, right?
Okay, did the Bills face... No, who?
It was the guy for the Patriots, and I don't think he actually made the team, right? Rohrwasser.
Yeah, I think he was.
The guy who played it.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy who played at ECC actually for a little while went to Marshall. And then Tyler Bass was taken. Rohrwasser was taken 159, Bass 188, and then Sloman was taken 248 near the end of the draft. So yeah, this is a guy that has good credentials coming out of Miami of Ohio. It's interesting. Him and Bass both missed their first ever NFL field goal attempts. Now, Bass also missed his second, which was debatable if he actually missed it. But, you know, they both missed their first attempts, and then he's come back, and this is going – and they like him. You know, he's made his since then, just like Tyler has since that first game. This is going to be an interesting test. I agree with you. This is 2-0 teams. Every point is obviously going to be important. And you're dealing with conditions that aren't favorable necessarily with the wind. Now, it's going to be warm. Maybe the wind by then isn't as strong as we think. But look, I've been down there. You guys know the way that field is. When you get even a 15-mile-an-hour wind, it gets even more so down in the bowl and it swirls around. So, yeah, I think it is a storyline. I think that if one of these two kickers, you know, misses a kick, it could be really big for the outcome of the game.
Yeah, you got to learn that, right? That's something I think as a Bills kicker, you just have to go through it. I mean, maybe the previous guy can give you some pointers. I don't know if Hauschka left like a note card behind that said, on windy days, here's what you got to remember. But you just have to, I think, because there is no set pattern, I think you got to actually experience what it's like to kick in that stadium.
Yeah, for punters too.
Preseason either, you know?
Yeah, all they
that's
did was
right.
they immediately
get thrown out for regular season. Yeah, so.
And think about the fact that this is a team, an organization that only comes to Buffalo once every 8 years. You know, this isn't like a division team where people have been here. They come here every year and they can kind of talk about it. Yeah, Sloman's a rookie, right? Hecker's their punter. Mm-hmm. By the way, Hecker's
a nice
guy. You guys
player.
Know, he, not only that, he's actually has like, what did I hear the other day? He's thrown the ball like 8 times in his career or something like that.
Didn't he throw it against the Bills once? Would he have been? Then Jeff Fisher ran a fake punt against the Bills. I feel like Hecker would have been that guy.
Yeah,
like,
Jeff Fisher always.
I'll have
runs
to look
fakes.
It up.
Hey, yeah, it's just someone you always have to be aware of that could do a little bit more. So yeah, my point is like this isn't an organization that comes here a lot. So I think even in that situation, even more so, like the win can kind of maybe surprise you or you're not ready for it necessarily.
Here's a nugget you can use on your sideline reports. One of your sideline reports. Johnny Hecker, nicknamed Samuel Sloman, the kicker. I'm going to guess Samuel Sloman is Jewish because his nickname is the Kosher Cannon. How great is that? That's one of the greatest nicknames I have ever heard, the Kosher Cannon. They went from Greg the Leg to the Kosher Cannon. I think that's an upgrade in terms of nicknames.
Yeah, Greg Zuerlein, right?
Yeah. And
he's in Dallas now.
Yeah, Dallas.
Okay,
yep.
Yeah.
All
right.
Yeah, by the way, I'm looking up. It is not 8. He is, check this out, Johnny Hecker, the punter for the Rams. 13 of 22 passing in his career.
Decent. That's a full game's worth.
That's good.
It's a full game's worth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Another stat, since McVay took over, I saw this in the Rams press notes, since McVay took over in 2017, Robert Woods leads the entire league in most yards on wide receiver screens. So just a little heads up for that, too. Maybe we'll see if that's out there on Sunday.
All right, they'll test your tackling, that's for sure.
Mr. Capaccio, have fun in the moat, and we'll talk to you on Bills Football Monday.
Okay, thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.